So I want to just start with giving you a little bit of information about why I wanted to do this particular class. And there are two pieces here. One is that I personally got really inspired and excited about the idea of living today as if the world that I want to create already exists. This both supports me personally and supports a sense of integrity and hope for me that it is possible. I don't have to wait until the world already works for me to act in line with my vision. And the second thing that I'm excited about is to support those of us who are working towards social transformation and being able to do so in a way that is aligned with the vision of what we want to create, instead of what so often happens, that we recreate the structures that we want to transform in our work. So that's what brings me here, and I'm hoping together with you to weave together what it means, these two pieces, how I can move now both personally and in my work as a social change agent, how can I move in a way that's aligned with my vision. So I hope you're interested in this question, and I want to get us started because I really want this to be experiential and interactive and involved. I want to introduce you to one of the core principles that is at the heart of this work and at the heart of my vision for creating a different world, which has to do with focusing attention on what we want to create rather than what we oppose. It seems really simple, but I've heard from so many activists that they feel a great sense of relief when they align themselves in that way, because there's so much energy of anger and despair and opposition that people experience. And there's some new energy that gets unleashed in shifting our attention to what it is that we want to create. So I want to give you an opportunity to explore in pairs how you do that. First, I want to do an example, and I want to hear two or three examples of what is something that you see around you in the world that is not working to your satisfaction, that you're unhappy about. I'd like a couple of people to call out examples. I just want examples of things that when you see them, you feel connected to kind of a dissatisfaction with how the world is operating.
For me, the terrible pain and agony of the extremes of wealth and poverty.
Okay, thanks. So the extremes of wealth and poverty is what you look at the world and see that doesn't work for you. So let's do the transformation that I'm talking about. Now, see if you can find out, instead of what's wrong with it, what is the vision of what you want to create?
A cooperative, reciprocal relationship between people on the planet, regardless of their station, their class, their status.
Great. So that is the essence of the transformation. It may seem simple, but I have found for myself that when I put my energy behind that, I am more inspired. What motivates me to do the work feels different. And I'm curious to check with you. When you think about the extremes of wealth and poverty, or when you think about a world that works cooperatively amongst all people, regardless of their station, does it feel different inside of you?
Oh, 100%, absolutely. Yeah, the extremes feel, well, it's pain and an agony. It's depleting, frustrating, enraging. And the cooperation, the vision of cooperation and reciprocity is joyful and enlivening,
yeah,
and hopeful.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, Suzanne. I want me and all of us to be motivated by the love of what's possible, instead of the anger at what's not working. So that is the first transformation that I would like to see happen. And I'd like to now pair you up and have you work through the same way. What is it that you don't like? And what is it that matters to you? What is the vision that underlies your dissatisfaction? So the question is, I would like you to find something that you don't like about how things are in the world, and then tell each other what your examples are, and for each of the examples, find what is the vision underlying your dissatisfaction. What is important to you? What do you want to see happen? Let's take 3 minutes. Thank you. As I popped around, I came in contact with something, and I'm curious to check with you all if it's true for you. If you found it easier to analyze what's wrong than to really connect with what you want.
About 30%, Mickey, of our callers are having that experience.
I'm really excited to hear that so many people find the place to make that connection. And I would like to hear from somebody who found the transformation meaningful for you, and then see if there are any questions or concerns about just doing that piece of connecting with what we want.
Hi. Well, my dissatisfaction is around the fact that we're using nuclear energy for power and for weapons, and that the radioactivity, the waste will be radioactive forever pretty much, and there's no good way to store it. And my vision is of a beautiful, clean, pure world and Earth.
And was it meaningful for you to find that vision within the dissatisfaction?
Very, very meaningful. Because that's the vision I can work for.
Yeah.
You can hold that out, and you can have that as something glowing in front of you to work for.
Oh, I love that image, something glowing in front of you that pulls you towards rather than opposing what is.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very, very beautiful. Very simple and very beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. And I'd like to hear any other feedback or question or comments or concern about this little activity that we did.
This is Susan. You're on speakerphone here because I have a housemate, and it was her sharing that really touched me. She talked about what it was she didn't like was all these wars that we have going on. Her positive vision was a world where people mediate and have conversations about conflicts in their lives. I was really touched by that.
Thank you. So I'd like to open it up to see if there's anyone who has a concern or a question or anything else that you want to discuss. Because I'm really satisfied that there are a bunch of people that this experience was meaningful for them, even just this little bit of transformation. And if there's any other comment or question about it, I'd like to explore that.
I'm actually familiar with this transformation from the work I've done with Appreciative Inquiry. I've heard of nonviolent communication, but it's new to me. And what's interesting to me, and I'm curious about, is that the name itself, nonviolent communication, flies in the face of what we're experiencing and talking about. So I just wondered if you could help me understand that.
Absolutely. As you can imagine, I get this question often. I want to make it really brief, and if my answer didn't satisfy you, then I will be happy to say more. The reason this word was chosen is to honor the legacy of Gandhi and Martin Luther King as the communication wing of the nonviolence movement. And Gandhi himself was lamenting that there's no word in English for nonviolence. There's no way in English, in the English language, to say it in a positive way. And yet, for many of us who are deeply embedded in the nonviolence movement, that word no longer sounds like a negation. There is such an affirming aspect of it. It is not the absence of violence. It's the embracing of a quality of fierce, uncompromising, courageous love of life and people and possibility, including people who are doing things that we believe destroy what is dear to us. There's an uncompromising quality of making contact and opening our heart to those people. That is what that word most means to me. And if anybody comes up with a different word that really captures that, I would be the first one to let it go, although I would be sad to lose the sense of the legacy. Wondering if this answer satisfies you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Lynn, for your question. Let's go now to Dee.
Hi. I'm just thrilled, even without doing the exercise, to bring something to my experience of waking up in the middle of the night, which I've done ever since I heard the word 350 parts per million of carbon in the air, as I've gotten more facts about where we are in global warming. So I've had some dark hours in the night, and now I feel like I have something I can bring to that I didn't have before.
I am delighted to hear this. Really touched.
Just thank you. Just really, I will thank you. I know many times around 3 or 4 a.m.
Oh, thank you. In fact, I think of this as another form of meditation. To keep bringing my attention to what is the vision, what is it that I want, what is it that I'm moving towards, whether personal or global, at whatever level, that I get into a reactive space. If I can refocus my attention again and again and again on what is it that I want, what is it that's important to me, what is it that matters to me, it's its own form of meditation. So thank you for bringing that in. And I'd like to say that if you get nothing else from this call but this practice, not just you, but anyone on this call, I have a little bit of faith that if everyone working for change would reground in the vision many times every day, the work will change. So I'm offering you this little practice to guide you. And I'd like now to shift attention to other aspects of what the transformed consciousness is that I want us to start embodying already, regardless of where the world is. And that second part is the empathic stance towards the world. It comes as an extension of the first part that we just did, which the extension is, for me, an article of faith, but it also has become for me a lived experiential reality just on the basis of the many people that I've worked with, which is that whatever it is that we think, do, act, react, choose, any one of us, whatever it is that we do, underneath that, there's some kind of a dream like this. Even the most destructive acts have a dream at their core. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. There is a book that I have been reading that is inspiring me deeply. The book is called Violence. The subtitle is Our Deadly Epidemic and Its Causes. And it's written by James Gilligan, who was a chief psychiatrist for the prison system in Massachusetts. So he knows a lot about violence because he has had intimate contact with people who have done tremendously violent acts. And his belief is that underneath every act of violence, there is an attempt to create justice. It doesn't matter that the act itself doesn't necessarily or usually or ever create justice, but that is what it's driven by, as an example. So I love what happens when I encounter other people's actions, words, thoughts, what they do, with this kind of empathic stance of what could be the human dream behind this action. What could be the deepest aspiration that this person has? What really matters to this person? What is driving this action at the core? And I don't rest until I find a dream that I can relate to because it's universal and human. So, for example, if I find myself saying, well, this person is doing it because they want to dominate everyone, I know that I haven't reached the core, because then I ask myself, well, why would anybody want to dominate? What would be underneath that? And often I find other reasons, like somebody wants to dominate just to have a sense of safety, or they may want to dominate because that way they could get people to love them, or so their subconscious imagines. So this is the empathic search, to find the core human beauty underneath whatever the action is. So I'm in a moment going to divide you into some small groups to do that with examples from your life. Before that, I want to see if anyone has a question about what I've just shared, question or comment about it.
Hi, I find it really difficult to, because there's so much that's going on, mm-hmm. to actually get into that place of empowerment and hope and vision. Sometimes I have so much anger and so much mm-hmm. disbelief at the things that human beings can be doing right now.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand. And
yeah.
How do you channel all that anger and all that kind of resentment and find a way to
Thank
really
you. I really love the simplicity of your question. It's so basic. And I want to say that on a call like this, it can only be really brief.
Yeah.
So I'll give you my tidbit about it. Is there three directions to go. One is the direction that we already tried earlier, which is to find the vision underneath your anger. Find what is meaningful for you, what matters to you. Why does this hurt? It hurts because there's some beautiful dream of yours that mm-hmm. is at odds with what is happening. So one way of dissolving the anger is by connecting with the dream.
Okay.
Another is to connect with the despair. The despair is very related to the dream, but it's the pain that we so often are afraid to touch. And because of that, we go to anger. So if I can open my heart to the fullness of my pain and not be afraid of my pain, it will be easier for me to find a different kind of energy to work from. And the work of Joanna Macy is very helpful in working on that despair and releasing the fear and numbness and anger that are keeping us from touching the care that lives in us. And the third piece is the piece that I'm talking about right now. If I can find the core humanity behind what people do, it's not that it's going to make the actions justifiable. Of course not. It's going to make the human being comprehensible to me. And that releases some of the pain for me when I'm able to do that. I can have compassion, and that compassion releases some of the pain. Wondering if that's enough for you to be willing to try it out in a small group.
For me, that's great. Thank you so much.
Sure. Any other questions or comments in this moment?
I was listening to what you were saying, Mickey, about not wanting to let go of the nonviolent communication tag. And so on the basis of what you were saying, I had a conversation with somebody else who's in compassionate communication about keeping the letters NVC, but changing them to new victory communication because it would look at victory from a point of win-win or no gain that Stephen Covey talks about. And then from listening to you talk further today, when you said number one was to find a vision underlying and connect mm-hmm. with the dream, then the dream would be the vision, so it could be new vision communication instead mm-hmm. of nonviolent, and so it would be an evolution coming, just like what you're teaching.
I am really appreciating this, and of course I'm not going to make a decision right now or take it further, but I'm really touched and appreciate this, and I'm definitely going to think about it.
Thank you.
So I'd like to know if there's anything that is keeping anyone now from being able to get into a small group in which I would want you to take a situation in which somebody is doing something that is difficult for you, and then as a small group you take just one situation and together you find what is important to each party in the conflict. So let's take as an example somebody who is clear-cutting a rainforest and you would be the other person in this conflict. So then you look at what are the dreams that each of these people have, the person clear-cutting and the person that is opposed to it on both sides? That's what I would like you to do in the group, and I have a sense that that will be probably the last activity that we will do today. I was hoping for 3 or 4 people in a group so that there's more people thinking about it. And if you can't easily find a situation, then you can take the example that I just came up with. Somebody clear-cutting a rainforest and the person who is opposed to it.
Great. So everyone's in their groups now, and you're going to have 5 minutes for this conversation. Thank you for wrapping up your conversations. And Mickey, hand it back over to you.
Thank you. I am really delighted with having kind of like dipped into some of these conversations. I had a sense of companionship and deep exploration, that you were really genuinely wrestling with the questions and really looking for a way to look at it. And I was really touched to see that. And I'm wondering if anyone was able to find something that really made a difference for you, that allowed you to open your heart, that you would be willing to share with the rest of us.
In our group, we had just come up with the need of sustainability that exists on both sides of that conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And that opens my heart, because that's something that's really easy to relate to for anybody else, myself.
Yeah.
The other piece for me that opened my heart is knowing that on the other side of the person clear-cutting, if in their world there's not really a space for looking at how to make life more sustainable, that there might be a need for support in creating sustainability other than the job of cutting the trees in order to support their family, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else? This or a question?
Our group was talking about healthcare and the way things are being dealt with, where people are blocking the public option or any kind of meaningful healthcare. One of the things that it occurred to me was that the people who are blocking, they're coming from a place of wanting to be successful at their work and get reelected. And so even though their strategy of taking money from the healthcare people is not a strategy that serves most people, what's underlying that is their natural desire to be successful at their work.
And that was helpful for you in terms of being able to see their humanity.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I just wanted to share on our group, the topic was global warming and, you know, why are people denying the facts and denying the science and not understanding it. And we got to the concepts of safety and security, but we found that that wasn't really opening our hearts. And then one of the participants actually shifted it from those conceptual words to a vision of a Norman Rockwell painting, this image of the safe, secure home that was the fantasy of the 50s, and how, mm-hmm. you know, having this image of what the dream might be allowed us to connect much more viscerally. So I just wanted to share this idea of moving from the conceptual to the real vision of the dream seemed to be
mm-hmm.
useful to us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that. So, any content questions or comments before I move to closure?
I was just wondering, do you have a trick or a way that if you do have a glimpse of that other person's dream or vision and you just can't connect with it, is there a way to bridge your making it wrong to his bridge? I mean, do you have a workshop that you do?
There's definitely workshops. And in fact, I did one just recently on the NVC Academy, and you can sign up to it retroactively and then you can listen to it. You can go to the NVC Academy and look for a teleclass with me called Living Without Enemies. But I can tell you that one key piece of it is about becoming that person. Try it on. Just really try to imagine yourself being that person. And then you can look inside and see what motivates you. So it's a way of unseparating yourself. We have become so habituated to believing ourselves to be separate from others. And this practice is a way to reconnect the entire human fabric, to become part of our web of connection, web of interdependence, so that we can work to create a world where really, truly everyone matters. So any place where I say to myself, I'm not that person, I'm separating.
Right.
Is that making any sense to you?
Absolutely, I got it. I got it. Thank you.
Okay, and that is a nice segue into saying that I was very ambitious. I knew that I wouldn't get to everything, but I still was ambitious, and I also wanted to include a piece about interdependence as a conscious practice instead of just a concept that I'm not going to get to today. But it's very much related to what I was just talking about, the habits of separation that show up both in terms of separating ourselves from other people, like they don't matter, they're not really human, as well as all the ways in which we act as if we don't matter. A lot of harm in the world is creating by people who somehow don't have a sense that their actions matter, that their voice matters, that their perspective matters. And I want us to grow in our capacity to act from the knowledge that we singularly matter and are irreplaceable and irreducible, and that we can ask for all we need and offer all we have. So I want to say my final words, and then I'd love to end with hearing from two or three people what you're taking home with you, so that I have a sense of knowing what was a contribution. The final words I want to leave you with is something about what it means to be a change agent, that when we don't like what is happening in the world or in a particular situation, you know, we have four options. One is to suffer. We do a lot of that. Another is to fight. And then there's winners and losers. And if we don't happen to have power, we usually lose. Another is to exit. And people do that, leave the situation or leave the world. And the last one is the one that I am trying to promote, which is to collaborate, to work with, and through working with, transform something into something that works for everyone. And that is what I wanted to say by way of conclusion. And now I would be really very nourished and fed if I heard from two or three people. What's one thing you're taking with you from this call?
Hi, Mickey.
Hi.
I'm calling from Sweden, so it's it's really an honor to be with you. I can bake the both together in one bread, because what I'm taking with me is a lot of support in my own longing to create change, and how incredibly frightening it is for me sometimes. So from this connection with you and the other people, I'm taking with me a lot of support. And I would like to ask you, Mickey, it's kind of maybe a strange request, but it would mean a lot to me if I could feel some kind of support from you when I'm going to do a workshop on this subject at the Climate Summit in Copenhagen. So my request is, are you willing to be with me there, kind of spiritually, so I can call on you somehow if I need support and empathy in that place?
I am not entirely sure what you mean. Are you asking me to concretely schedule time with you?
No, I'm just asking.
Like offer you moral support? You have...
Yeah, exactly. Just by
my,
saying...
My heart is completely with you. Go and trust yourself.
That just does it for me. Thank you.
This was an incredible hour for me, in the sense that I'm new to your work. The idea of the concrete ideas of visualizing, you know, what we want, what distresses us, what angers us, what creates that, and then the tools, the very practical tools of the dreams, and that plenty of our fears are around love. So I can't even name all of the things and the concepts that I'm taking away, but I just need for you to know that I am a full person for having participated in this call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's very meaningful.
Hi, this was really amazing. I felt really supported, the whole circle, and with the people that I was able to talk to. I met two really supportive women, and we ended up giving each other a group hug at the end of our conversation. They really brought amazing insight. And so did you, especially about finding, feeling, and trying to find the vision underneath the actions that others are taking. And I really think that that's something that's very true. People, they're trying to do what they think is best for them, and there's this mm-hmm. underlying desire in them that they need to do this, like that dream in them, and no matter how negative that looks on the outside, for them it's real, you know, and that really helped me a lot, and I think it's really going to help me to create peace in myself, to bring that to my family and my community, and right. I really think just the way that you talk to all of us and organize this, it was so, so positive and so nourishing. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Lindsay. I'm so glad. So glad to know that this just little tiny bit of what we could do together from a distance is already going to support you. Thank you.
I know. Me too. I'm amazed. I hadn't heard about you at all before. Just now, I just like, oh, I might as well do this. And it's just so, it's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone.